skies. ESPN 93.5, sunny 95.3.
Ladies and gentlemen, a couple of great fathers on the phone with me. First, brother Johnny is in New Orleans. Johnny.
Good morning, Stevie.
Mike Ditka, Hall of Famer, Chicago, Illinois. Coach, how are you?
I'm good.
We begin with LeBron James.
Yeah, we needed it. You know, we needed everybody, contributions tonight from the starters to the bench. And, you know, we stuck with the game plan.
Wade to the basket, up and under, and banks it in. What a performance from Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, and here's Brian Windhorst, who covers the Heat.
I'm not going to stop at the first three games. I'm going to say for the most of the last 2 months. And, you know, the one thing we've seen in this series is Dwayne has come out very aggressively in these games. And then the second half, he's just given nothing. And, you know, there's lots of guesses and speculation as to why that was. And one of the things that they did last night was, you know, he was wrapping his knees in hot pads during the game. He was only sitting out a couple of minutes at a time, so he would not get stiff. But basically, bottom line, he brought it.
Yeah, Mike, Dwayne Wade didn't look like he had any knee problems ever in his life. Did the Heat look good or what?
Yeah, they really did. I thought the way they challenged the San Antonio team, I mean, with their defense, I thought their defense is what won them the game. They really made it hard for San Antonio to get anything going, and they really made it extremely hard on the guard, Parker.
I'll tell you too, Mike, Parker was dominant that first half, and I was amazed to see him.
He's a special guy, but you know, you can't do that. I mean, in the NBA, with the talent of those people, John, it's hard to do that for 60 minutes or whatever long it is.
Exactly. At the first half, he's dribbling through those two, three, or four of them, and then he'd kick it out. But yeah, I think he got tired, and then Wade, I think, just made up his mind. Yeah. He was going to go all out the whole four quarters. It's interesting. They did that kind of defensive spurt, I think, sixth or seventh game with the Pacers, and they were a different team when they're just playing defense like that.
Yeah, they really were. You're absolutely right.
Well, can you play at that level of urgency, or your body just won't allow it every time?
Well, I don't know. They do it in hockey, guys.
No.
They really do. They play hard out all the way, you know. I know it's different. You're on skates and that, but I say again that these people are phenomenal athletes. I mean, and we have no concept how good these guys are playing golf, basketball, baseball, football, tennis, whatever. They're great athletes.
I had the Blackhawks on, Mike. I fell asleep, thought I was in a dream. The thing was 8 hours long. The Blackhawks won game one of the Stanley Cup. It was
absolutely. And let me tell you what, it didn't look like they were. And I said it was going to be tough. Boston's good. Boston can play them because they have a good physical game and they got a good offense.
Yeah.
Too.
I tell you,
that was the fifth longest game ever,
I think. Something like that. And hey, the Cubs beat the Reds yesterday.
Come on, man.
Come on. Johnny, the Reds had beaten the Cubs 12 straight times in Wrigley Field. It's the longest streak against the Cubs since.
Yeah, and they got the Cubs' ex-manager. What the heck?
Dusty Baker. But the Cubs have never had a streak like that in Wrigley Field's history. And they finally won in 14 innings beating the Reds. Yeah.
14 innings. Well, go Cubs.
Yeah. I tell you, it's crazy. And the Cardinals continue their fine play. Best record in baseball. Cardinals are something else. 21 games over 500. It's amazing.
You know, and they seem to be doing it. You know, they you know, and you people who are Cardinal fans know that they have some really good players, but they have a lot of no-name players that just keep showing up and playing.
Yeah. All right, we switched to Tim Tebow. Mike, you said from the get-go I'd have Tim Tebow on my team. I'd like his influence. I'd like, you know, just having the man. Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, this week said he's a winner, and the fact that spirituality is so important to him is very appealing to me. The report included two more quotes with the word spirituality. For me personally, having Tim Tebow on this team, he's someone who believes in spirituality. He's very competitive, works hard, has a great attitude. What's the downside of having a Tim Tebow on your team, Mike?
There is none. And here's the thing. I always knew that the New England Patriots were one of the great organizations in football, going back a long, long time. Robert Kraft's a great man, a great owner. I think they got the best coach in football, certainly if not the best, one of the best ever in the game of football in Belichick. They do things a little different, but they do things the Patriot way. And that's why I respect them so much. And what they've done is that they've given proof to me that they are by far the best organization in football, because they didn't listen to all the naysayers. They didn't listen to all the negative stuff. because a man believes in Christ or believes in God, is a Christian, and you hold that against him, yet you applaud the man who comes out and says he's gay, we got a bad society, guys. We got something the matter in our society.
Well, I think that Kraft is on the right track there, too, Steve. I think you're going to... Of course, you've seen New England year in and year out. They're always top of the league. And maybe, you know, I think that's part of it. It's spirituality, but it's putting a lot of value on what's right, and then actually trying to do what's right and do the right thing.
I think also one thing about football, I think they'll put a package in for him that they'll let him play with, and I don't think it'll offend Tom Brady. I think Tom Brady will embrace it. You know, he doesn't have to be on the field every minute, and I think they'll find some way to get him involved in the football end, but I think he's going to be involved in the organizational end all the way from the beginning because he's such a great kid.
Why in the world did no one else want this football player on their team? They said, oh, you don't want the circus.
Wait a second. You ever listen to the shows, the analysts?
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
They're all experts.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Well, and he had some great games. He's definitely not your conventional drop back passing quarterback fan.
Well, you know, John, the way he played in college, I don't care. What do you think Florida would have won a national championship without him? Come on, the guy's an athlete. He's a talent. He does a lot of things very well. Now, does that mean that he's a perfect thrower of the football? No. But he's a perfect competitor in the game of football, that's for sure. So, I mean, you try and waste it. I don't know. You look, I just find it hard. Take Russell Wilson, goes up to Seattle. He's too short, okay?
Yeah.
He's one of the best quarterbacks in football. Why? Because the coach and organization find a way to make it work with him. Robert Griffin III, the same thing. So I look at these things, and people say, well, he can't play that position in pro football. Well, I disagree, because I think the game of pro football, that position is changing.
Well, Johnny had a Versa back in, what, 10, 15 years ago, Johnny?
I think that Mike's right, though. And, of course, Mike, the Super Bowl coach, I'm going to go with that. And he's right. I mean, the coach finds out how to use the talent he has. But also, he can mix it up with different talent and do different things. I like that for a while. What did they call that when they didn't have the quarterback and run up the middle? I forgot what they
called. Shotgun.
Yeah, well, no.
Well, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, they run out of the show. Wildcat.
Wildcat.
Yeah, the Wildcat. I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that throws people off for a while. It works. It's good for the fans, and it's good sport.
Yeah, that Wildcat's good in oil, too, right, John?
Yeah. Good in oil and gas if you're a Wildcat. One other thing about Tim Tebow, just a really interesting couple of facts. When he was in that game against Pittsburgh in the playoffs, when he was quarterbacking Denver, they weren't going to beat Pittsburgh. There's no way. They threw that upset at Pittsburgh. Tebow completed the 80-yard pass. Tebow ended the game with exactly 316 yards, which, of course, is the Bible verse, John 3:16, whose number Tebow famously wore in the black under his eyes when he led Florida to the victory in 2009 national title. And it was exactly 3 days to the day of that Denver over Pittsburgh win. But that's not all. Tebow set an NFL playoff record with, you guessed it, 31.6 yards per completion, and the CBS Nielsen ratings peaked at 31.6 in that game. That's just, Mike, come on.
Well, again, when you have that many people against him and that many negative people, that's what you end up with.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, Tim Tebow does not have to apologize to anybody in any media anywhere in the country, including ESPN, the people I work with, the people I work for, me, or anybody else. You know, you let your actions carry you. They have no chance. Denver has no chance to beat Pittsburgh without Tim Tebow. None.
And Johnny.
And yet, Denver went out and they got rid of him. You know why? Because they couldn't take the pressure that was going to come, because there was going to be. There was going to be a lot of conflict, a lot of discussion.
Yeah.
A lot of people were going to say, well, we don't want the change. We want the change. So, and they fell into the same trap in New York because I call it cowardice myself. If you're afraid to step up and face the challenges you're going to meet, that's cowardice.
Well, and I think the Patriots probably will handle it a lot better. It'll be very good to watch this one.
No question about it. Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka, when we come back, we're going to wade through some of this politics. I don't even know where to begin. but we'll try in just a moment after these messages on ESPN 93.5, the new Sunny 95.5. All right, I don't know. I honestly do not know where to begin. I got Benghazi. I got the IRS. I got the snooping on reporters, the State Department cover-ups, the NSA collection of data, the Ed Snowden is in Hong Kong, patriot or criminal. Johnny, any ideas?
Well, it's just kind of bad policy, which leads to crisis. Also, bad leadership because of, I guess, I don't know, lack of involvement or over-involvement. Whatever he's doing wrong, it's not working very well, and things tend to unravel. I think the people, some of the people around him may be a little bit overzealous, and they're not very, haven't got the integrity I'd like to see. Mike, you can try to philosophize. It doesn't really surprise me, but
when you said bad leadership, there is zero leadership in politics. You got a bunch of followers, you got a bunch of idealists, but you got nobody that understands what the founding fathers of this country imagined for this country and wanted for this country and what our Declaration of Independence and the Constitution was based on. So that's all a long time ago, so that doesn't work anymore now with these new people. Well, to me, they're a bunch of hypocrites. That's all they are. They're phonies. And it starts at the top and it runs right down.
Well, a lot of finger-pointing, Steve, too. You see a lot of finger-pointing, which is always a sign of very weak leadership when, didn't do well, it was Bush. Well, she did. I didn't know anything about that. What are they doing over there? I'm refusing myself.
Poor Bush is a blame for. I don't know why they're not blamed for World War One and Two. For crying out loud. These people are a bunch of jokes. I mean, it's asinine. And it's actually embarrassing if you have any degree of intelligence at all. You still even listen to some of these people. But, I mean, this administration, and let me put it this way, he is, and he would love it to be a monarchy because basically that's the way he's trying to operate.
All right, how am I to read this story this morning? I read it with skepticism because I simply cannot believe it. But the Obamas apparently are ready to take a family vacation to Africa at a cost of, get this now, $60 to $100 million.
They canceled it.
Well, they canceled the safari part.
Yeah.
But I think they're still going over there. They have to have a floating hospital. They have to secure Tanzania. Johnny, what are you? This can't be a true story. There's no.
Well, I wouldn't doubt it for a minute. First of all, money doesn't really mean that much to someone at that level these days. You're talking about, go back to our $17 trillion debt and our $4 trillion budget. What's $50 to $100 million? I mean, it's just no money.
But are they not sensitive to how things look anymore?
Well, here's the thing. If he goes, do we have to take him back? That's the question.
Well, they've got to have an amazing amount of people because of where they're going, how difficult it is to secure these areas. They have to have flyovers. They have to have 14 different limousines. I mean, $60 to $100 million for a trip to Africa.
Well, let me ask you this. Why? Why would you waste your time going there? We already send so much money over there, it's unbelievable.
I don't know. That's why it's
Well, why would you waste your time? Trying to get boats over there?
Huh?
The truth of the matter is, and we all get to talk the way we want to about our president, but it's a national security issue. We need the president to be safe.
Yep, I agree.
That risk, I don't believe that risk is justified. And that's why it's going to cost $60 to $100 million.
Well, just don't go.
I don't think they should go just on the basis
of
that.
That's common sense.
Well, the Washington Post, which is a liberal newspaper, started poking around about why you needed snipers on their safari. And they said, well, in case the cheetahs get out of hand, they got to shoot the cheetahs. No, this is real. I mean, go what? And then they said, okay, we're not going on a safari. I said, wow. I read half this stuff. I said, this can't be right.
I think, Steve, there's a high level, Obama returns to Africa, cut some of his heritage from Africa. And
right.
I can understand that desire. I think maybe another place maybe that would be easier for security, but that's kind of, and the problem with spending that kind of money, it's a lot of money, but it's also very difficult, even with that, to protect the president in an environment like that.
Yeah.
It's just, I wouldn't advise doing it, but... Yeah, I'm sure it's a true story. Yeah, absolutely.
Unbelievable.
That's true.
All right, I want to end with the U.S. Open. Mike, you said you did play the Marion Golf Course in Ardmore.
I think I played it twice, but a long time ago. But what a unique place it is. Well, you saw it, the wicker baskets and I heard everybody say, well, these guys will kill this golf course, but I'll tell you what, the golf course has stood up pretty daggone well, guys.
I tell you, Johnny, it's like putting on a glass table.
Yeah, I was watching, and Mickelson, I was kind of pulling for the guy, and he's ended up, he's leading. He's 3 under. Well,
he's, yep. No, he's not leading. I think, which of course, I don't know. Did
Luke
he
Donald,
make a bogey?
Luke Donald's at 3, and I think Phil got another birdie. So Phil and Luke right now at this minute are 3 under.
Yeah,
so,
they are,
okay.
Yeah.
So, and Tiger's +2, and they're trying to get round 1 done because of the rains yesterday, and then, of course, round 2 today. But when you play a 243-yard par 3, Tiger right now on the tee on 17, on the 240, he's using a 3-wood. Mike, you'd use a wedge, I know that.
No way, it's like, you know, that's what makes the course unique. You got a 243-yard par 3, and you got a 100 or 96-yard one.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
yeah,
when you look at it, it's a shot. It makes you require different shots now. I could hit a driver on 243-yard one, I tell you what. I'm not
what
sure I could get
the weather,
there.
Stevie?
Johnny, Tiger's got a sweater on, and it looks kind of misty and foggy, and it looks like he used his 3-wood to bury it in the bunker left or in the rough stuff. So Tiger's not playing very well. He's going to, first of all, focus on the cut. A whole bunch of people trying to just make the cut today. But these greens, here's one that I had not seen. I think it was Peterson was on the fairway addressing the ball. Somebody hits into him. The ball rolls the fairway toward him, hits his ball while he addresses it. I'd never seen that.
No, I've
well,
never
what
seen
is,
that
that's
either.
Not a penalty or anything,
no,
is
I,
it?
No, I don't
no,
think
it can't be a penalty.
You got to replace it, but he was addressing the ball. I just hadn't seen that. Ball in the fairway hits his ball while he's addressing it. It's just wild. Anyway, U.S. Open, one of the all-time greats. Guys, it's always a pleasure. We'll watch this tournament and talk with you again on Monday. By the way, didn't even touch on the fact that the president last night has decided to arm the Syrian rebels because now they have concrete proof Assad has used chemical warfare against his own people and these rebels, and so that crosses Obama's line. So you want to arm the rebels, Mike, I guess that's okay, but who are the rebels? We don't know who they are.
You have no clue. You're right. Absolutely.
It's hard, and that's one reason he's tried to stay out of it, I will say. That's tough, but I think if you can find the right guys to help, I'm for helping them.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. We'll call you Monday.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Mike.
Care.
Thanks, Steve.
God bless you. Happy Father's Day, guys. Appreciate you. It's Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka, Mondays and Fridays. Boy, is it fun to have them on.
Mm-hmm.
Get their take on a whole bunch of different things, which is what we do, and I hope you enjoy our visits Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8, here on ESPN 93.5 and the new Sunny 95.3.